Thank you because it comes and we come alive. Thank you because it's as it comes to us, we mix it with faith and with thanksgiving. Let our hearts and our minds be yielded unto your word in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening once again to those of you here. And I've been told every time, to the ones online, I always forget them. Hallelujah. To the people online, whether you are here now online or you'll be online some other time and be watching, good evening and the Lord bless you indeed in Jesus' name. This is the word of God that has come to us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. I would like to have the New Living Translation. It says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us walk towards complete holiness because we fear God. Amen. It says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us walk towards complete holiness because we fear God. Amen. He says, everything that can defile our body or spirit. Amen. So you cannot be holy and be holy in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't say that you are learning to, he said, let us walk towards complete holiness. Okay? And the only way we can walk towards complete holiness is if we cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or our spirit. Hallelujah. So if either of the two is stained or is defiled, then there cannot be complete holiness. Amen. If you take the NKJV, this one says, because we have these promises. Then the NKJV says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So this one puts it in a better context, so that other one says, your body or your spirit, okay? But this says, this conjunction, Abi, is a conjunction, Abi. So which one are you people? Are you science or, when I say science, you look at me like, what's wrong with this man? I'm saying English now. Okay, you're not linguist. Is it conjunction? And is it a conjunction or what? Hey. Or encore? Because we are reading the English Bible. So if you're not going to understand it, let's go and find, maybe we're going to take that one from Mr. Sajiri's town. Worry Bible. So uncle. Waladi. So the conjunction here is and. The other one is or. Let me tell you what or does. Okay? So if you want something, for instance, okay, and you say that if you want to come to church, for instance, is that I come in, I have so many options to come in, okay, but let me just take coming from Ojota and this other point, Ogudu, this other one there. So I tell you that is that you take Ojota or you take this Ogudu junction, you are going to get to number 37. Okay? So you are fine. So if you decide to take Ogudu, you know that you are getting to where you are going, right? Now, for and combines the two of them. So if you are going to do something without the other one, it's not going to happen. Okay? I just don't want to go into physics, but it's only Toby that can relate. There's what we call the gates. You have the OR gate. and the AND gate. Okay? So if the two conditions, if all the conditions are satisfied, then the AND works. Okay? But in all, okay, any of the conditions and you are fine. So if you look at the New Living Translation, it says your body or your spirit. Okay? It says, but if you want completeness, your body or your spirit. All right? Now in this NKJV, it says it has you have to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. No option. Amen. And you know that is man is made of is a spirit that lives in a body and he has a soul. Hallelujah. So when it comes to holiness, is the complete man that we are talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says, therefore, and as good Bible students, we know that therefore tells you that there are certain things in the preceding or whatever was before there. So whatever was in chapter 6, he's telling us, and the therefore here, it says, therefore, having these promises, hallelujah, amen. So you begin to wonder, so what are the promises? Okay, he says, if you have these promises, therefore having these promises, okay, these are the promises. Then what is left for you to do is that you cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And take it from verse 11. He was talking to Corinthians. He said, O Corinthians, from verse 11, 2 Corinthians, and I'm taking NKJV. He says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then verse 7 says, therefore, having all these promises, okay? And the critical one there says, I will be a father to you. Amen. It says, please go back to verse chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. I will be a father to you. Now, we all know that the only example of a father that we have or we should follow is the example of God himself. Amen. That's the only example. I am not saying your father is not good. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying that my father is not good. But the true example of a father, who a father is God. Man will always fail. Man will always have his shortcomings. But when you sit down and look at God, see, everything that man will ever need, God created in 6 days. Okay? And then he left man and everything he created to continue the work. So if you go and read in Genesis, it says the earth should bring forth. And it says the water should bring forth, or the ocean should bring forth. And then they started bringing forth. Okay? And they've continued to bring forth. And he has not changed that order. And he's always there. Hallelujah. So, and then, because God knew where he was going. And then once he created Adam, he created him and put him in a garden that was filled with all supplies. And all Adam had to do was just to simply obey him. Amen. Obey him and be available for him anytime that he needs him. Okay? Now, it says there in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, that you have to, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Give me the NLT. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the NLT, it says that because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us walk toward complete holiness because we fear God. So if you look at the NKJV, and perfecting holiness is becoming a problem, you look at the NLT, it says, you are doing this because we fear God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the beginning of wisdom is what? Amen. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Hallelujah. So don't worry if I put the beginning before the fear of God. Hallelujah. It's not a problem. What is important is that you are conveying the message. Okay? So sometimes when they give you mathematical problems to solve, they put all the parameters you need. Sometimes they put it on top of the question to make your life very easy. They put all the parameters you need on top of the question. Sometimes they embed them in the sentence. That's why there are some mathematics problems that are just purely formulas, okay? And there are some, they call them word problem. And truly, that word problem is a word problem. Hallelujah. Because if you give a student those equations to solve, they will gladly solve them. But just put it into a word problem and it becomes a problem. And it's a, but it's the same thing that you are supposed to just create out of this problem, this word problem. You are supposed to form this formula they have given you in this other question. Amen. And so this, because we fear God, and the other one, and the fact that I said the beginning of wisdom is what? So everybody is used to the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But he talks here about the fact that we have to walk towards complete holiness. You know, since the beginning of this year, what the Spirit has been leading me to tell you has been in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and Job chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Okay? Because everybody, and I look at it that when we all come to church and we all gather, everything that we do is always, 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 always about what we want from God. Amen. So everybody wants a good life. Everybody wants abundance. Hallelujah. That's when the amen is so loud. Huh? Second Corinthians says that you must, Second Corinthians 7 says that you have to cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And then let us walk towards complete holiness. Amen. If you are expecting anything from God, then what is God expecting from you? Hallelujah. Amen. The fact that you won't do it doesn't mean God will not continue to exist. Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean that God will not continue to do what he will do. But you have to understand that he says, now having all this, because we have these promises, okay, then we ought to live a holy life. Amen. Then we ought to live a holy life. We have this promise. He says, I'll be a father to you. Okay? Yeah, you shall be my sons and daughters. Now, see what he has said, though. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. I think that's verse 18. He say, and he has just showed us one thing there. Okay? Which is that, look, this is my responsibility towards you. I will be a father to you. And then you will be what? My sons and daughters. That's your own responsibility. Amen. His own responsibility, I will be a father. And once he's a father, he also expects that you behave like sons and daughters. So when you look at it, what you think of fathers, what resonates with you? So when you look at when you think about father, don't worry about your earthly father, that they have not exemplified God. what you see is God. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? That's so one of the outstanding characteristics of the Father is love and sacrifice. Okay? Because without love, you cannot sacrifice. Hallelujah. So the fact that he was ready to sacrifice his son shows that he has great love and commitment to everyone that he calls his own. Hallelujah. Amen. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I think I've explained to you before why he talked about the fact that he set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because the good shepherd, okay, always ensures that even if the conditions around the sheep are not okay, he makes every effort to make sure that the sheep does not starve, even in those uncertain conditions or unfavorable conditions. Hallelujah. And that's why we look at it and say, look, irrespective, and that's why I told you earlier, that he says that in all things we should give thanks. So irrespective of the condition around, okay, around the sheep, okay, the shepherd has looked at it and said, okay, now this is going to happen. And that's why he prepares, Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Hallelujah. So, in the presence of your enemies, okay, he anoints your head with oil and your cup runs over. And I'd explain to you that if you have a sheepfold, okay, flies usually disturb them. Okay? And when they disturb them, they stay on top of their head, and sometimes those flies and whatever, they find their way into their nostrils and it becomes a problem for the sheep. Okay? And sometimes they'll just go gaga. And a lot of us will be laughing. You don't know that fly has entered the nose of the sheep and you see him running up and down. You say, what's wrong with this thing? But when the shepherd notices that, what he does is that he pours oil on top of the head of the sheep. And that way the fly will not disturb it. Okay? And then they can feed. Hallelujah. Amen. So irrespective of whether the flies are there or not, the good shepherd has made provision so that the sheep can feed. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he will feed until he's just full. So I'm saying that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 18, he says, I will be a father to them. Amen. And this is what is expected of us, to live a holy life. Hallelujah. Amen. In Psalm 119, verses 9 to 12. It says, how can a young person stay pure? So give me the NKJV. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Amen. If you will cleanse your ways, and if you live an holy life, then it has to be by the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, oftentimes we say that whatever brings forth anything sustains it. Amen. Okay? And God is spirit. And then he breathed into man, and then man became a living soul. Hallelujah. When he spoke, okay, so it was by his rod. When he spoke, by his word, we came to be. Okay? And if you are going to stay alive, it has to be by the same word. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, so if you have a problem with how to keep holy and how to be holy, okay, I've told you several times, holiness is not piousness. Amen. There are two different things. Okay? So, there are two different things, okay? So, you know that if Munachi and I are speaking now, let me not use Munachi, let me use Kenny. So, if Kenny and I are speaking now, okay, and he says, this person, I'm just doing that one, he has not done what I want for me. Now, I will say, this boy is very respectful. I mean, he has done ekpelesa. But in his heart, he's so far away from it. He's just there and he's grumbling and saying, this guy is just so stubborn. Eh? No, because you are grown. Munachi, you cannot have that kind of spirit. You have passed there and you have come back. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm saying that it's not what everybody speaks that goes on inside of them. Okay? So the fact that he's trying to show that he's respectful on the outside doesn't mean that it translates on the inside. So I've heard it before. Some people are going to say, if not the fact that this thing, I won't call you, I won't respect you. The fact that you haven't said it, that means there's no respect. Abi? So he says that your word I have hidden in my mind, in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Now you'll be wondering, say, hey, but we're all born again. Right? We don't need to hear this. You need to hear this and hear more. Okay? Because when Paul was writing, he was not writing to unbelievers. Hallelujah. He was writing to the church in Corinth. Amen. And he was bringing them back to line. And if you will make progress this year, you have to walk before him blameless. And then you have to shun all evil. Hallelujah. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 7. I was in one service today. And if the people that I went to do service with, if they hear now, they will know that it's them. So I was in one service today. And as I sat there, it was just customary for, the church opened everything. It was just customary for you to come in from here. So there's a middle aisle that is an aisle. You know what an aisle is? It's a space like that one. It's an aisle. This one that I'm looking like you, says that there's a middle aisle. So you can't pass. So you're coming, you can't pass the middle aisle to go and sit down. You have to park the side and the side. No problem. But if you have to pass the middle aisle, you have to stand there and bow. Okay? Now, someone came in. It's not written anywhere that you cannot pass through the middle aisle. I didn't see it anywhere. Okay? So one woman came in. And she came, she passed the middle aisle to sit down there. That's how one usher quickly went. You're not supposed to pass there. And I'm like, what's important? I just sat down, now this is extreme as far as I'm concerned. Why are you not supposed to pass the water for whatever reason? Okay. And then another instance, people wanted to come in, said, no, they can't come in. The bishop is speaking. The bishop, I'm like, so I don't think that's holiness. Okay, that's been pious. Okay, because I don't understand what it is. Even when Christ was sitting, having service on mountain, someone on the mount, he sat down and people came. And I am sure that everybody did not sit down before he started preaching or speaking. Hallelujah. Okay? So a lot of people do a lot of things to be very... And immediately service was over. That middle aisle became unholy. Everybody was just passing it. So I'm like, what has happened after service? It should have remained. Abi? Amen. It says, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Okay? Next verse. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. And he who rejects what? Let's start from verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you see from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. How you ought to walk and to please God. Everybody wants God to please him. Hallelujah. God provide for my needs. I want this. I want that. And this is saying that you have to learn how you ought to walk and to please God. Next. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of such, as also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us unto uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. He was talking to the church in Thessalonica. Hallelujah. Because amongst them, in their midst, what has been found? Fornication. Sexual immorality. Hallelujah. And he said, if you are going to be rejecting what we are talking about now, okay, then he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. Amen. And there are different ways in which you are going to reject God. Hallelujah. One of them is sexual immorality. Another one is just to be lying. See, this defraud. Go to verse 6. It says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Defrauding his brother in this matter is in the matter of what? Sexual immorality. Because if you are fornicating, you are sleeping with another man's wife. Or you are sleeping with another wife. Another woman's husband. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are defrauding. Anything that God abhors. Okay? Yeah, in this case, this is affecting your body and your spirit. Hallelujah. He says that should not be found in your midst. He says if you are going to reject this teaching, then you are not rejecting man, you are rejecting God. And I'm saying that we are looking at Job 1:1, which says that there was a man in the east. Hallelujah. Okay? Whose name was Job, right? No, he says it was a land in the land of Uz, not in the east. He said that he was the richest man in the east, but it was a man in the land of Uz. Okay? He feared God and he was blameless. He was upright. He who feared God and shunned evil. Hallelujah. So we read Psalm 119, okay, that talked about the fact that if you will cleanse your ways, if you will cleanse your way, it has to be by the word of God. As long as it's not in God's word, then you should not be doing it. Hallelujah. Your responsibility towards God is to lead a holy life. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Give me the Amplified Classic. It says, for the Lord corrects. Sorry, I didn't give you the verse. Verse 6. Verse. We're going from verse 6 to 14. It says, for the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves. And he punishes, even scourges every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Amen. If a father is not correcting and disciplining any child, then there's a problem. Because the Bible says it's not possible that you have a father who does not do that. So 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says that God says, I'll be a father to them, and you will be sons and daughters. So his responsibility is that he's a father to us. Hallelujah. And one of the things he does is that he's correcting. Okay? He says, for what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Next. Now, if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, in which all of God's children share,
then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons. Amen. Hallelujah. Next verse. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded to them and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the fathers of spirits and so truly live? Amen. And it says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But it disciplined us for our own certain good, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. Amen. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will and purpose, thought, action, and resulting in right living and right standing with God. So then, brace up and invigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and dropping hands and strengthen your feeble and pulsed pass. What's this one now? Yeah? Pass it. It's Toluda said it, it's not me. And tottering knees, okay? Then, and cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight path for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. Verse 14. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, to see God is a technical thing. Go back to 2 Corinthians verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. If you will see God, okay, you will experience him. Hallelujah. It says, 7:1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. So, no holiness. Then you are far away from actualizing the promises. Because he's not going to deal with you like a father. Amen. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. Remember that in Psalm 119, we read it, verse 62. That how can a young man cleanse his way? Except by your word. Hallelujah. And he's saying here that you're already clean by the words that I've spoken to you. The next verse. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What's in verse 6? If anyone does not abide in me, this is where I'm going. Anyone does not abide in me is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Hallelujah. Amen. So if he's not good, he says, without holiness, you will not see God. Okay? If you're not bearing fruit, hallelujah, it's going to come a time, he's just going to cut you off, hallelujah, because you're not bearing fruit. So the word of God cannot go to waste. Word of God is to cleanse. Amen. You see, and that's why I keep saying that all the promises that we have in the scriptures, they are there. Hallelujah. Whether you know it or you don't know it, they are there. If somebody wakes up in his life and all he does is going around giving people and doing good, he will reap whatever promise that is attached to being good and giving people and whatever promise attached to being good and giving. Amen. It doesn't take a Christian to reap or giving. It's just a principle of God. When you give, you receive. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, whatever you sow, you do what? You reap. You know, so when people are praying, I say, let it be for you. You know, when people are very happy, they pray. They don't know what they're thinking. Just say, as I've done this for me, God will help you. Everything in your heart that you so desire, problem comes. Hallelujah. I've told you that it's not every prayer that you pray. Some people will say, Oluwa gbogun ti awon to gbogun ti mi. Abi? It's a problem. If I've looked for that psalm, contend with them, O Lord, that contend with me. If you're not living a holy life, who is God going to contend with? Answer. Who is contending with you if you're not living a holy life? Answer now. You are not living a holy life. You are not seeing the promises. So who is contending with you? You are the one. You are the one contending with yourself. And so if, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive. Is it KJV? There's that con- I like that one. That's why I like my Yoruba Bible. It says, Oluwa gbogun ti awon to gbogun ti mi. Fi ja fun awon to ba mi ja. Thank you. Contend with the Lord, with those who contend. See, don't be, if you know that you're not living a holy life, don't pray, don't read this psalm. Because what you are telling God is to deal with you. And he will deal with you in good time. Amen. It's not a laughing matter, it's a holy matter. Because you have to understand where your problem is coming from. It's not every problem that comes from the devil. It's a simple instruction. Live a holy life. And what is holy is holy. If God abhors people that lie, you cannot be lying. You know, we are very sharp. We'll be doing agbari everywhere. We say, if I do this one, I do this. You know, the Bible says that don't worry about those who despisefully use you. Sometimes you despisefully use yourself. Because you cannot just relate with the fact that this is how God wants me to do things and I must keep to it. God does not deviate to the right or to the left. I was telling somebody yesterday that in the game of football, this is my fingers. I don't know if you can see them clearly. This one looks is taller than is longer than this one. Now, in the game of football, one is longer than the other. Now, in the game of football, if you are offside by this short distance, you are offside. If you are offside by this short one, you are offside. They will say, it's just a tiny margin. Let's allow the goal. They will say, no, it's not as long as this. They are not on the same line. Even by the fraction of a centimeter, it's offside. If man can set that kind of rule, they learned it from their father. Hallelujah. God is compassionate. Amen. But for how long you can pull that rope of his compassion, nobody can tell. So therefore, don't even dare to pull it. Amen. You know, people say, the people like, they will say they are pressing your button. If you press my button, you don't know when my button will stop pressing. Hallelujah. Amen. If you say you are pressing my button, you can press it forever. No problem. Maybe Mrs. D can press it forever. Hallelujah. But if Kenny presses it, he can just be now. It just depends. Hallelujah. So don't ever say that it's God, he's compassionate, there's grace. Hallelujah. Leave him to determine when he applies his grace and his compassion. Stick with what he has told you. If it was not so important, Paul would not be telling them in Corinthians, and he would not be saying it to them in Thessalonica. Hallelujah. I will not be reading it in Hebrews, that look, if he's going to prune you, without holiness, you cannot see him. This work we are working with God is not about him providing for us. It's about we being his ambassadors and truly his ambassadors. Hallelujah. So if you see the ambassador of the United States of America, If he comes and is behaving like a Nigerian, everybody will be disappointed. I'm not saying a Nigerian is bad, and I'm not saying the ambassador of the U.S. is, because there are two different cultures. So if what we expect him to do when you see him is that he brings the culture of where he's coming with him. Hallelujah. Amen. And he does not, when he's in that his embassy, every rule of his country applies. Amen. Every rule of that country applies. You don't say, because I'm a Nigerian, and then you are in the American embassy, you now start, you know the way we behave. It's only, I think, I've been at the, I was coming from Amsterdam to Lagos. But I was coming from America. So from America, from Atlanta, we go to Amsterdam. When we were going to board the plane in Atlanta, there were not so many of us. You know us, there were not so many of us. Everything was calm. So there was nothing like everybody rushing to go on. You know why people rush to enter the plane? Because instead of having one carry-on bag, they probably have two or three. So they need to stack it, and then they need space. That's why they rush. So when we were there, there was no rushing. But you see, some people left, maybe some people left UK, some left China, and everybody came on KLM or Delta. So you have to first come to Amsterdam. So by the time you get to Amsterdam, those ones coming from China, they'll be here. Those ones coming from anywhere, every part of the world that they are going to Lagos, all of us will meet. So by the time we want to enter the plane at Amsterdam, we are all the same. Very few different nationalities will be amongst us. That's where you see problem. So if you're going on a flight to Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, all passengers with children should start boarding. All passengers with children. That's when you see men that they'll get up. No child. Why? Why are you getting up? Then I'll just stay on the queue. Why are you getting up? And then you enter the cabin. When you get to your space, you see people's bag. The hostesses try to accommodate. I think last week, some two people were fighting in the plane because of cabin space. We are going home. Things have changed. Because the atmosphere has changed. So I'm saying that if you are the ambassador of a place, truly, everything about you speaks volumes of the place you come from. So is this Christian work is not about what God will do for us. Amen. What we are stepping in is what he has done for us. So when you look at the fact that by stripes we are healed, when Isaiah was speaking, he says he was looking into the future. When Peter was speaking, he was looking back at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that he will do, he has done for us. What he expects you and I to do should be truly ambassadors. Be Christ-like. And you can't be Christ-like and have two personalities. Amen. You have to remain holy. Amen. We are getting tired. It's a lie. We'll finish this thing together. Like, get tired. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll release you now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He says, you also be holy in all your conduct. Amen. No backbiting, no scheming, hallelujah. No storytelling, amen. No fornication, no lying, hallelujah. He says, in all your conduct, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Amen. Hallelujah. That's when you can draw people onto you. Amen. You know the confidence that you used to approach God and say, God is faithful. Let people have that same confidence. when they want to approach you that I want to deal with blessing, no. Eh? I'm sure that if I give blessing 10 million to go, blessing will come back with 20 million and will tell me that, Pastor NY, I made 20 million. So if I collect all the 20 million, she will be happy. Why? Because if God gave you 10 talents or and you come back with 20 talents, God will be happy and he'll give you more. Amen. But what? You will display that honesty, that integrity. Because that's how people will deal with us. We'll be able to deal with us and we'll be able to acknowledge that truly there is an impact of God in our life. If our conduct is not going to be holy, then there's no need. I don't want a pious conduct. Hallelujah. Let it be that when I get up, people will say, oh, truly, God is in what is in what God is doing. It is not, if it is a year of harvest and a continuous one, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says it all. It says, therefore, having all these promises, those things will come. Amen. But your conduct will bring them out. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's just like when the Bible talks about the fact that honor your father and mother. So that what will happen? Eh? So that your days will be long. Eh? So if you want your days to be long, what are you supposed to be doing? Yeah, now my papa. Now I know send me. I know send them. When I was growing up, he didn't send me to school. That's not your business. He says, I'll be to you a father. As you are sons, sons and daughters have responsibilities. Tonight is not the night of sons and daughters. I always tell people, why you don't question the things that brought you into being. You don't question your parents. Whatever they have done, it is in the limit, is within the capacity of their understanding. Hallelujah. Your responsibility as a child remains, irrespective of what they have done. And I think Satan has come to tell us the story of Joyce Meyer, that her father molested her, and yet, when the Holy Spirit finished dealing with her, she made sure she took care of him, and it's just that amazing. That's what he expects of you. It's not tit for tat. I know you agree. That time that you did not take care of me, now is the time that I'm going to show you that you made a mistake. How are you sure that if you are taking care of you, you reach where you are today? Amen. I don't have qualms about anything, about anybody. And never look back. Amen. Because he that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So you should not go back as though when you were in ignorance. Don't go back to those lost, but you should keep going ahead. Let your conduct be holy, because he who has called you is holy. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God this night. It's a year where we are dedicating ourselves to be true examples of a believer. Be thou an example of a believer. Hallelujah. A conduct. Okay? Whether man is watching or man is not watching, be an example of a believer. Do things that are expected of a believer, of a Christ-like person. Let not people have something negative to say about being a Christian. Amen. And I've always said it. If you want to be selfish, you will always keep. If you want to be selfish, the best thing for you to be selfish, the best way to be selfish is to keep the word of God. Everything the scripture says, just keep it. If it says you should pray for your enemy, why would you pray for your enemy? It says that's what God wants. But he also tells you that if you pray for your enemy, you'll be heaping coals of fire on their head. So pray for them. Pray for them, not curse them. So be that selfish that, okay, this is the promise that is attached to this behavior. Do it for yourself. There are promises, do it and receive those promises. Because those promises will always be there. He only needs you to unlock them. And he says that you must cleanse your body and your spirit and live a holy life.
Father, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you because indeed you give us that ability to live a holy life. Thank you, Lord, because we walk even with the word, with what that you have given to us. Thank you because we'll be cleansed, because we see our mirror, our image in the mirror of your word. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.